At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Gil Alexander and a numbers game's guessing lines on a Monday with Chrissy Andrews, my mishpucha, going into week 10 of the National Football League. Kelly Bidlin in the house as well. The whole crew. Morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Gilly. How are you?
I'm good. Kelly, you good?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm fantastic.
I could.
A little later on the show, by the way, special little quirk inside of guessing lines. We don't normally do this, but a numbers game tradition, unlike any other, apolitical election betting with Mac Verstandig here coming up in the middle of the show.
So that'll be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Like so, about 45 minutes from now, we'll stop down.
Yeah.
With the normal guessing lines procedure, we'll talk some politics, because there's still out there some who like to bet on such things. Again, apolitically speaking, have I mentioned that? Yes, I believe I have. As far as this weekend, how was your weekend from behind the book in the National Football League in college?
Well, college was okay, not great, but we had a decent day college-wise. Sunday we had a real good day, but around town they probably did a little better than we did, because we don't juice the threes. A lot of threes showed up yesterday.
A lot of threes.
A couple threes I had on the parlay card, on the ties win parlay card, where I just used three. So all you had to do was pick that game and you had a winner. So we got beat a little bit on some parlay cards. The Tampa Bay game, I used three, ties win on the card. What was the other three that fell that I used? Chargers. I used three on that game too. So, but you know the Michael Gaunt philosophy. Let's bring a lot of people in. So, my parlay cards are probably a little more playable than a lot of others around town. I don't even know who else has them anymore. But Michael likes it. We bring a lot of people in, and, live by the sword, you die by the sword.
So. Something that our buddy Bob DeLuca knows all about. We'll pour out a 40 for Bob a little later on the show today as well.
Man.
With his six entries on the Buffalo Bills. We also have Bob on the show tomorrow, in his own words.
What a guy.
What a guy.
God bless, yeah.
I was going to tell you today, you talked to him this morning, I was going to tell you, we should definitely have him on. We should probably give him a day or two, though, before we shoot him a text.
Bob's okay. Bob's feeling all right. And I'd like to say something about it when we get to the Bills here later on the show. I'd like to, because people are murdering Bob this morning. I don't think that's entirely the way to go.
Everybody's Captain Hindsight always. Everybody knows what you should have done
when
the results are in.
Listen, guys, if you think it's you, if you're still alive and survivor, this just in, it's not. You've managed to avoid the minefield. Let's give Bob some grace. We'll get into that when we get to the game. For those who are just tuning in, guessing lines for the first time, this is a tribute to the old Stardust show of the same ilk with Roxy Roxborough back in the day. I don't know the lines. I guess them. Chrissy tells us who he's actually or what he's actually going to put up on the board here behind us at the South Point Hotel. They are not available for betting yet until this show is over. We appreciate that about Chrissy and about given the show its gravitas in that respect. And this has worked out beautifully this year. Seattle comes through again. That was the big one that we loved. Yeah. Washington was kind of the other one. That worked out. Don't know how that worked out, but it worked out. So we'll do the same process here once again with week number 10. Cannot believe this is the official halfway point of the season now through week 9. Kelly, let us begin with Thursday.
Thursday night, buckle in. Falcons at Panthers.
Falcons at Panthers. Falcons outgained 166 to -5 in the second quarter yesterday against the Chargers. That turned a 10-0 lead into a 14-10 deficit. Second and 2 at the Chargers 11, 9:31 left in the third quarter for Atlanta. Mariota, 5 yards of Drake London, stripped by Khalil Mack. He returns at 44 yards, but 3 plays later, Herbert's picked by Richie Grant. 10 plays later, Patterson, Cordero back in the fold, and boy, was that good for Atlanta. He scores from 3 yards out, 17-14 Falcons. We fast forward to 9:04 left in the game. Chargers down 17-14, 3rd and 3 at the Atlanta 37. Herbert to Eckler. Looks like he goes for a 1 yard loss, but he rolls over the defender, seemingly untouched in the end zone. And for a while there, we think, my goodness, what a touchdown for the Chargers. But upon review, elbow down, they settle for a field goal, 17-17. And now, 3rd and 4 at the Atlanta 22 with 46 seconds left in the game. Do you see this, Chrissy? Falcons have no timeouts left. All the Chargers have to do is set up a field goal. Eckler, rush, hit by Rashawn Evans, fumble, recovered by Taquan Graham. He's rumbling, he's bumbling, he's stumbling, whatever the Berman thing was. He goes 21 yards. And he fumbles for no particular reason.
Yes.
So I just let this, there you go, take the ball. I was like, what was that? We're betting on this stuff. Recovered by Matt Filer of the Chargers. Chargers ball, but back at the Atlanta 43 now. By the way, Scott Hansen could not get that right. He was like, well, no, this is what, that. You know, it was. That's exactly how it happened. Chargers ball, but back at the Atlanta 43 now. 34 seconds left. One pass, Herbert to Joshua Palmer for 22. They're right back in field goal range. Cameron Dicker, the kicker. 37-yard field goal, first game with the Chargers. He wins it for the Chargers, 20-17. Mariota ends up 12 of 23 for 129. No touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked twice. Tyler Allgeier, 10 for 99 in defeat. Patterson, 13 for 44. 13 carries for 44 yards, 2 touchdowns. But Atlanta loses by 3, as we mentioned, to the Chargers. And then there's Carolina. Oh, this is a terrible Thursday night game. Good God.
Yeah.
They trailed 35-0 at halftime to the Bengals. P.J. Walker, not to be confused with...
P.J. Harvey.
3 for 10 for 9 yards.
That's not good, right?
That's in a half of football. 1 carry for 6 yards. The Panthers in the first half had 1 first down, 32 total yards. In other words, they gave up 35 points and had only 32 total yards. Is that good? Cincinnati, meanwhile, had 311 total yards in the first half and 21 first downs. Bengals scored touchdowns on 6 of their first 8 possessions. Mixon killed them for 5 touchdowns in this game, 4 carrying, 1 receiving. Mayfield had to come in for Walker. He was 14 of 20 for 155, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was not sacked, but whoop-de-doo. 30-13 disadvantage in first downs, 474 to 228 in total yards difference disadvantage, 39-21, 20-39 time of possession disadvantage, and -3 in turnovers. What a stinker of a game. Atlanta minus, I can't make it 3, but I'll say -2.5 on the road at Carolina.
You're dead on.
There
it's
you go.
2.5 pretty much everywhere. You know, my power ratings came to 2, Atlanta, but I saw where Carolina had fired 2 of the coaches this morning.
Oh, they did.
Paul Pasqualoni, who I can't believe he's still coaching. He's going to be like 90. I think he was their offensive line coach. And
he's 126 years old.
I mean, he coached at Syracuse like 40 years ago. Anyway, and then obviously a lot, and I've said this before on this show, like when I go into these Thursday games, I prefer, and it's strictly anecdotal, I don't have numbers behind me, like a veteran quarterback, a veteran coach. Well, I don't really have either one of these here. I guess a little bit more on the side of Atlanta, but the whole Carolina thing's in turmoil. But meanwhile, that was a huge game for us yesterday. They bet Carolina like they knew the score. When I was giving Michael Gaughan the games in the morning, he called me like 10 minutes in the game. Well, I guess we don't have to worry about the Carolina game. No, yeah. We don't.
He was present. He knew he was watching.
Oh, yeah. He loves the sweat. Yeah. You know, I mean, he loves it. But I told him that was like probably our second biggest game of the morning. You know, a ton of business on Carolina. So anyway, 2.5. My power ratings come to 2. Fill out your bingo card. I won't dicker with the 2.5. But this game, I think, might get the 3.
All right.
By the way, Dicker the kicker?
Yeah.
You know how many teams he's played for so far in his rookie season?
How many?
4. This is his 4th team already. Kickers, man. Okay, Sunday from Germany, Seahawks at Bucks.
Munich, Germany.
Seahawks first Bucks.
Oh, Seahawks Bucks is the guessing line special. The team that I'm always overvaluing.
Oh, yeah,
against the team that I'm always undervaluing, and that has worked out beautifully for us.
Where do you see these numbers?
Oh, wait till you hear my guess. I'm sure my guess is going to be off. Because Seattle, overvaluing them, has been profitable, and undervaluing Tampa Bay has been profitable. Seattle clinches their season win total over already with their sixth win of the season. They sweep Arizona. They win their fourth in a row. They've led at halftime in 8 of their 9 games this season. Up 10-7, third quarter, first and 10 at their own 40. Geno picked by Zaven Collins, 30 yards to the house. It's 14-10 Arizona. You think for a second, maybe this is the game where they lose to an also-Ram like Arizona. But no. The rest of the game, Seattle, 13 plays, 75-yard touchdown drive, finishing with a Smith to Lockett 9-yard touchdown pass, 17-14 Seattle. After an Arizona punt, 13 play, 81-yard touchdown drive, finishing with a Walker 1-yard run, taking almost 7 minutes off the clock, 24-14 Seattle. After Arizona matriculated the ball down the field to get it within 24-21 with 3:30 left, and all of the Cardinals' timeouts in pocket, they still had a chance, did the Cardinals. But Seattle then goes 85 yards in 5 plays to seal it, 31-21. Arizona couldn't get a first down with what little time they had left. That's your final. Smith, Geno, that is, 26 of 34 for 275, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. He was sacked twice, 6 carries for 38 yards. Walker, 26 for 109 and 2 touchdowns. The Seattle Seahawks were 10 of 15 on third downs, 421 total yards. And then there's the Bucs. This game in the first half with the Rams yesterday, the Bucs end up winning, of course. What a ridiculous finish. We'll get to that in a minute. But in the first half of this game, 7 3 and outs, 11 first downs between the Rams and the Bucs. Until the last drive, there was 1 touchdown, 5 field goals against 13 punts, 12 3 and outs. Down 10-6, 4th and 2 at the Rams, 45, 4:01 left in the third quarter. Brady sacked by Aaron Donald, 6 plays later, 33-yard Matt Gay field goal, 13-6 Rams. Down 13-6, Tampa Bay 4th and 5 at the Rams, 32, 8:13 left. They decide on a Ryan Succop 50-yard field goal try, which he sinks, because when you have the chance to cut a one-score lead to a one-score lead, you do it every time. Rams 3 and out. Rams had minus 8 yards in the fourth quarter to this point. Tampa Bay starts at their own 41. 8 plays, matriculate down to the Rams 7. First and goal with 2:50 left. First down, 0 chance. Godwin rush for 1 yard. Second down, wide open Scotty Miller in the end zone. Brady hits him perfectly. He jumps and drops it. Third down, Brady to Cade Otten in the goal line. Broken up. Fourth down, intended for Evans. Broken up, hits Jalen Ramsey in the chest, incomplete. And it looks like the Rams are going to win. But the Rams go 3 and out. Brady and the Bucs start at their own 40 with 44 seconds left. 28 to Otten, incomplete pass after that. 4 to Fournette, 14 to Miller, 7 to Miller. Defensive pass interference in the end zone. Brady to Otten for 1, touchdown. Bucks win at 16-13 with 9 seconds left. The most ho-hum game-winning drive you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
Brady 5 of 6 for 54 and a touchdown on that drive. 36 of 58 for 280, 1 touchdown, no picks. He was sacked once in this game. Unbelievable. And I'm going to say Seattle's a 3-point favorite in Munich because that's what it should be.
I beat you. 3.5 are my power ratings.
What's the actual?
Tampa 2.
Come on. Yeah. We're going to do this every week.
As soon as I made it, I said, there's no way this is going to be the real number. But I said, I'm probably going to be pretty darn close to Gil.
You even went higher than me this time.
The Tampa game, it was ridiculously abysmal, even though they won.
One of these weeks we're going to be wrong. Doesn't make our picks or our guesses wrong. We'll talk more about this on the other side. Guessing lines on a numbers game at VSiN.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
It's Gil Alexander, Christy Andrews, Guessing Lines, Kelly Bidlin here as well. Let's harken back, Kelly, to the previous segment.
Ding, ding, ding.
That's one, by the way. We still have to get to 16 this week. I'll max bet the under again. So here's the thing. First of all, do you agree with me that was the most ho-hum game-winning drop? Like, it just kind of happened in front of you. Like, they're just going to let this happen this easily, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, why the Rams didn't protect the outside, I have no idea. I mean, that's exactly where he had to throw the ball. And they just, kept letting him,
Here you go, Scotty Miller. Why don't you step out of bounds?
Yeah, right. 10 yards out of bounds. I don't know what the hell they were doing. But, I mean, Tampa, were you impressed by this great Tampa comeback?
No, they're terrible.
Yeah, they're horrible. So, my power raise, I'm starting strict power raise, came to 3.5. As soon as I'm writing it down, I said, boy, this is going to be worse than Gil's. But I said, I'm kind of on Gil's side. But anyway, no, scratch. I'm not opening Tampa Bay 2. I'm going to open Tampa Bay 1.5. I'm going to stay below the market for sure. But the Seahawks are just a good team. And I had them pegged as the worst team in the NFL before the season. The absolute worst.
Yeah.
Could I be more wrong?
Well, you stand in line with everybody.
Yeah, I mean, their win total was 6. Yeah. And I thought, boy, I couldn't bet that over, But here they are, Geno Smith. And by the way, two things I want to say. Geno Smith for comeback player of the year, I'd say no, because comeback indicates that he was there at one time.
Yeah.
He was never there. He's my most improved player, maybe even MVP. But comeback player, I'd say no.
This is what we always talk about, that award. It's so nebulous.
Yeah, and the other thing I want to say about Brady, nobody on TV, any of the talking heads, ESPN or any other station, mentioned his divorce.
Yeah.
They all talk about some domestic issue. I guarantee the word got out. If you ever want to talk to Brady again,
don't use the word.
Don't use the word divorce. Don't talk anything about that because they never mention that at all. And any of us that have been through it,
yeah,
know that has to have a huge bearing on his every thought process.
Oh, there's no question. And many of us have been through it.
Yes.
By the way, let's just say this about Tom Brady. Over 100,000 passing yards. Moved ahead of Peyton Manning for the most game-winning drives with that yesterday. Matched Manning with his 43rd career fourth quarter comeback. And by the way, this under the radar. Do you know how many passes Tom Brady has gone without a pick this year? 373 passes now without a pick.
Wow.
Wow.
I mean, he is accurate as hell.
You know who the Bucs MVP, though, is? Their punter. Jake Camarda. Yesterday, 68-yarder, 74-yarder, 66-yarder. I mean, that's the weapon right there.
That's the guy right there. I was telling this yesterday to a friend. I'm like, the Brady interception thing is great, right? And we always talk about, you don't want quarterbacks to turn the ball over. But with how many offensive struggles they've had, it almost feels like Brady needs to be cutting it loose and be a little bit more risky with some of these.
Yeah, right? It's
more
like, chances.
You got to get something going, right? You got to give these wide receivers a chance on the outside, especially when you got Mike Evans and stuff like that, stuff like those guys that are that big.
If the playoffs were to begin today, and this just in, they don't. Tampa Bay's in the playoffs. They are your NFC South leaders. Yeah. All right, Kelly.
1 o'clock Eastern time, Vikings at Bills.
Oh, that's got to be the marquee matchup of the
it
week.
Is.
Vikings. Get it done in D.C. or Landover, Maryland. They lead the NFC North by 4.5 games. 4.5. 6-game win streak. All by one possession margins.
Mm-hmm.
They trailed in the fourth quarter in 4 of those 6. They outscored Washington 13-0 in the final 10:46 yesterday to win. They led 7-3. They got the ball with 37 seconds left in the second quarter at their own 25. They took them only 3 plays to get to the Washington 21. And after a delay call, because that's what the Vikings always seem to do, Cousins picked in the end zone by Danny Johnson, intended for Jefferson. We go to the locker room. Same score, 7-3. Second play from scrimmage for Washington in the second half. Taylor Heinicke throws the ball into what the announcer said was a Vikings team meeting. It was such a great description.
There was 5 of them there.
And caught somehow. By Curtis Samuel, who then rolled untouched into the end zone, 51-yard touchdown. That one pass for Heinicke was more yards than he had thrown for in the entire first half, 48. Yeah. up 10-7. Washington, 4th-1 at the Minnesota 38, 5:40 left third quarter. Heineke pass intended for McLaurin, knocked away. 3-and-out for Minnesota. Then a 78-yard commander drive spanning late third quarter and early fourth quarter. Heineke to Milne for 6 yards. It's 17-7 Washington. But then Minnesota had a drive that resulted in a field goal set up by a Cousins to Jefferson 47-yard gain on third down. Great play by Cousins. And then up 17-10, here's the play of the game. Washington's up 17-10, 2nd-11 at the Washington 30, 8:09 left. Heineke picked by Harrison Smith. Terrible interception. 2 plays later, Cousins to Cook for 12. We're tied at 17. Then a Washington 3-and-out. Vikings short field. Start at their own 46. They get it to 1st-and-goal at the Washington 6 with 2:35 left. And the Washington D holds Minnesota to a field goal attempt. It's good, but an unnecessary roughness penalty called on Washington's John Ridgeway for shoving the defensive center over. So Minnesota correctly decides to take the points off the board with Washington only having one timeout left with under 2 minutes left. And good on Minnesota for doing this. They had no intention of scoring. And I know the first play was a Dalvin Cook rush forward, but even on that one, Dalvin Cook just sort of fell to the ground. Mm-hmm. Didn't give the Skins a chance, Washington a chance to let them score. Greg Joseph, 28-yard field goal. Vikings win it 20-17. Cousins, 22 of 40 for 265, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. He was sacked twice. Jefferson, 7 catches for 115 and a touchdown. Hawkinson in his first game with the Vikes, 9 for 70. And then there's Buffalo. Oh, Buffalo. Buffalo loses to the Jets. Still pouring out that 40 for Bob DeLuca. The Jets slipped on the opening kickoff, and Buffalo started from their 45-yard line, and then it immediately, it was a 42-yard pass to Diggs, and you're like, oh, Buffalo's going to destroy this team. But 2 plays later, Allen was picked by Jordan Whitehead, and it was a portent of things to come. Allen, 18 of 34 for 205, no touchdowns, 2 picks. He was sacked 5 times, 9 carries for 86 yards and 2 touchdowns. Bills were up 14-3 in this game. Jets converted a 4th-1 at the Buffalo 32 with 2 minutes left in the first half. 4 plays later, Michael Carter, 6-yard touchdown run, 14-10. Allen having himself a great first half. Had 2 touchdowns at the half, 13 of 22 for 163 by the break. But the Jets were down 14-10, 4th-2 at their own 47. Punt formation, fake. Ashton Davis for 2 yards. 9 plays later, 3rd-6 for the Jets at the Buffalo 18 with 6:29 left in the third quarter. Wilson strip sacked by Vaughn Miller. A.J. Epinesa recovers. You're like, oh, Buffalo's still going to get away with this. But the second play of the ensuing drive, Allen, miserable pass picked by Sauce Gardner. 4 plays later, 4:03 left in the third quarter, Wilson to James Robinson from 7 yards out, and the Jets took a 17-14 lead. 17-17 game, Jets get the ball at their own 4 with 7:53 left. They get to the Bills' 18-yard line on 8 straight running plays. Then Wilson to Denzel Mims for 12 on 3rd-5. It's 1st-goal at the Buffalo 6 with 2 minutes left. Bills have all their timeouts. Robinson, 2-yard loss, Bills timeout. Zach Wilson, 6-yard run, Bills timeout. Wilson sacked by DeMar Hamlin, Bills timeout. Zerline, 28-yard field goal, Jets go up 3, but there's still 1:43 left, and it's Josh Allen. Come on, plenty of time, right? 2nd-2 at the Buffalo 33, Allen sacked by Bryce Huff, 19-yard strip sack loss. Even though Buffalo recovers, it's 4th-21, desperation pass that goes through Gabe Davis's hands. Jets win. Jets clinch their season win total over. Mm-hmm. Buffalo just 3 points on their final 5 possessions. Diggs 0 receptions in the second half. All that said, Buffalo's going to get some guys back on defense, so they're going to be, I'm going to say, 8.5-point favorites hosting Minnesota.
You know, my power ratings come to 9. The number that's out there is a solid 7.5. I'm going to open 8. You know, Buffalo, what's Allen's record in 1-score games? It's pretty bad. It's like 2-7 or something like that.
Terrible last year.
Yeah. And here was a 1-score game yesterday. I was on Brent's show before the games yesterday at like 9:05. And I told him on there, I says, Brent, I don't know what it is, but the whole world knows that the Jets are going to win this game. I mean, I went from 13 down to 10.5. They bet me the money line too. I did get salvaged though. Jimmy had tweeted this out earlier in the week. A guy bet me a 3-team, $50,000 money line parlay. Eagles, Bills, and Chiefs. So that, you know, put a dent in that Jets loss a little bit. But then we got beat on that game. You know, but I still think, I'm, like I said, I did not lower Buffalo on my power ratings. I just think it was just one of those days. You know.
I'm with you. Let me just say a word or two about Bob DeLuca, who's crushing sports. He's the guy who had 6 entries. With 125 left and 123 left. And 2 weeks ago, he was on the show, and I said to him, hey, Bob, you know, it's one thing when you have 6 entries left with 6,133 in the pool. It's an entirely different thing when you have 6 entries left with 125. And so I sort of was suggesting to him, you know, you might want to start the split now. Like, this is your advantage. And I don't know if we pushed him over. I don't know if I did. He ended up splitting last week. We'll have him on the show tomorrow. He'll explain to us why he did. But whatever that was, he decided to go back. We had him on again last week, and he decided to go back. Bills all in with all six. And that was the sort of shocking thing because most people are saving the Bills for Thanksgiving. And it didn't work out for him, despite our best efforts to sort of push him along.
I started rooting for him.
We love Bob. He's a great dude, right? But he decided on this strategy, and I guess we're going to talk to him tomorrow. I just want to say this to people, because people are murdering Bob today. And I just want to say this about Survivor. If you're still in it and he's not, it's not because you're a genius and he's not. It's a minefield. Bob's strategy, if it had worked, he would have checkmated everybody on Thanksgiving. So it didn't work out. It doesn't necessarily mean it was the wrong thing to do. And I'm the one on air telling him to do it a different way, right? So both things can be true. Yes, it can make all the other competitors happy that he went all in. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, his strategy might have worked out. Let's show him some grace. Coming back, more guessing lines on the other side.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't me?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get everything VSiN has to offer for the rest of the football season for only $99. Get VSiN Pro access all the way through the Super Bowl. Plus, our upcoming college basketball, college bowl, and Super Bowl betting guides. Give yourself an edge. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to get your $99 midseason special today. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. How much college basketball action you getting?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, a lot.
A lot.
A lot, yeah.
It is here.
And I'm not going to say who I blame for all this because two of them are my good friends. You know, but they've opened this Pandora's box for us.
Still to come on the show here, coming up in about 15 minutes, Mac Verstanding to talk political betting, election day tomorrow. Please go out and vote. He's got some thoughts on betting globally on those kinds of things still available here today. It's a numbers game tradition unlike any other, apolitical betting. Tomorrow, Bob DeLuca on the show. One more thing about Bob before we go back to guessing lines here, because I'm curious if you guys agree with what I'm saying. And this is, I find this fascinating. If I had a dime for every time I've said this on the show. By the way, shout out to Mitch and Paul, who were kind enough to play parts of our interview with Bob last week on their show this morning on Follow the Money. It's fascinating to me how people in the Twitterverse now, I'm talking about, how it's so easy for human beings to immediately bash a result of something. And then there's going to be some people who are like, no, it's not the result. I thought this beforehand. And I guess what I'm saying is you can't hold two. You have to be able to hold two thoughts in your head at the same time. One, yes, does him going all in with all six give life to everybody else who only had one, in some cases two, and then I think in one other case, three entries left. Yes, he was in the driver's seat. Yes, by doing that, it gives those people life. I even said that on the show last week, right? I'm like, oh, man, other people are going to be thrilled that he's taking six. At the same time, right, he was just as likely to have won doing it his way as he was to have lost doing it his way. Survivor is a minefield. And he had a specific strategy he wanted to go. You can agree with it or disagree with it, but it doesn't mean that it was right or wrong. And that's the point.
You know, I can talk about it now because we're out of it. Yeah, well, we had a group and we put in, you know, our multiple entries.
Yes.
You know? But right from the beginning, Jimmy Vaccaro says we should go with one pick a week. That's what we should go with. One pick a week. That's what we should go with.
Jimmy,
been around a little.
Yeah.
He's been gambling for a while. Said the same thing.
And it's one thing to say that in theory and to actually push the button and do it week after week after week.
Well, I don't know if it would have mattered because we were out pretty quick anyway, but we did not listen to Jimmy. But who's to say that was the wrong strategy?
But in a season where there's more volatility and there's upsets every which way, there's a case to be made that going all in every week is actually the smarter strategy. Now, not at this point. Again, as I made the point to Bob.
I agree.
Having six of 6,000 is different from six to 125. But why am I able to hold that thought in my head at the same time, yet also realize that his way might have easily won also?
You know, this business, and I'm very fortunate to work for a guy, and I've worked for other guys, and I worked for other guys who weren't like this.
Yeah.
Who understand that this is a minefield, to use your quote.
Yes.
You know, and you want to play the results afterwards. Well, that's an easy thing to do because once the games are done, everybody has the answers.
Everybody has the answers. But even the people who aren't playing the results, even the people who are saying beforehand, multiple things are true in life. And it's amazing how people don't get that.
It's wild. The one thing I'll say about Bob is, look, I think hopefully what makes this easier to take is that he did it his way, right?
Yes.
You went by your strategy and you didn't listen
That's
to everybody
right.
else on
Good
the
on
outside
you.
Saying you should have done it another way.
By the way, the week before when I was like, Bob, you should probably split that. And then he ended up splitting three on Miami, three on Dallas. And Miami was losing to Detroit. You know that meme where Homer Simpson goes back into the bushes? That's how I felt. I was like, oh, no. I was like, I made him do this. All right, let's move on. What do you got? He'll be on the show in his own words tomorrow.
That's right. Sunday 1 Eastern, Lions at Bears.
All right, so the Lions get it done. They beat the Packers 15-9. Lions had 4th-and-1 at the 7-yard line, scoreless game, 10:55 left in the first quarter. Goff, incomplete pass intended for Tom Kennedy. Just allergic to field goals. Subsequent drive, Green Bay matriculates all the way down to the Detroit 5. 1st-and-goal for Green Bay. Rodgers deflected ball off of the Lions. Derek Barnes helmet picked by Kirby Joseph. Kirby Joseph had a game. Next pack drive, Rodgers hits Lazard for 47 yards to the Detroit 1. 1st-and-goal with 1:22 left in the first quarter. Dylan Rush stuffed for no gain by Joseph. 2nd down, Rodgers miscommunication with Watkins. He throws it in the corner near no one. 3rd down, Dylan stuffed by Barnes. 1st play, 2nd quarter, 4th-and-goal at the 1. Rodgers looking for Bakhtiari, way underthrown, picked by Aiden Hutchinson. You know how they won't say divorce? You know what else the announcers won't say? That was a horrific pass by Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers' 3 picks yesterday were among the worst passes all weekend long.
We'll get to Green Bay. He looked awful.
He was terrible, and they wouldn't slam him. Over last 3 seasons, by the way, Rodgers, 40 touchdowns and 1 pick versus division opponents inside the red zone. Here, 2 picks versus the worst scoring D in football. Still a 0-0 game, 2:39 left in the second quarter. 4th-and-3 for Green Bay at the Detroit 38. The Packers go. Rodgers, incomplete pass intended for Lazard, originally called complete before Detroit challenged, overturned it. Lions go 62 yards in 8 plays, culminating in a Goff to Shane Zylstra 1-yard touchdown pass. Packers run into the kicker on the extra point. Jamal Williams takes it in from the 1 after accepting the penalty. 8-0 Detroit. We go to the second half. Joseph makes a great play. Kirby Joseph, what a play. What a game. Makes a great play on the first Green Bay drive of the third quarter, batting down a would-be Rodgers to Samori Toure touchdown pass on 3rd-and-11 at the Detroit 44, also underthrown. Green Bay forced to punt. 1st-and-10 of the Detroit 35. 10:20 left third quarter. Goff picked by Jair Alexander. Green Bay in business. 2 plays later, 2nd-and-9 at the Detroit 22. 9:23 left third quarter. Rodgers picked again by Kirby Joseph. Horrible passes. No one says a word. Apparently you're not allowed to. Teams traded touchdowns. Green Bay got a field goal to cut it to 15-9. They also missed a 2-point conversion that would have tied it at 8. So it's 15-9 Detroit now. And this is the moment of the game. Detroit 4th-and-3 at the Green Bay 43 with 2:04 left. Detroit goes for it to seal the deal. Golf incomplete, intended for Equanimeous St. Brown. Pardon me, for Amon-Ra St. Brown. Pardon me. Green Bay gets it all the way to the Detroit 17 with 55 seconds left. All the way to the Detroit 17. They need a touchdown to win it. Touchdown and extra point. Incomplete to Lazard. Incomplete to Lazard. Incomplete to Amari Rodgers. 4th-and-10. Incomplete to Watkins. Ball game. Lions win it 15-9. Goff, 14 of 26 for 137. 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. He wasn't sacked. 254 total yards. That's it for the Lions. But they were +2 in turnovers. And the Bears, their 5th loss in 6 games. Justin Fields yesterday, 17 of 28 for 123. 3 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked twice. 15 carries for 178 yards, the most by any NFL quarterback in a regular season game. His total QBR was 95.4, the highest among any quarterback in the NFL yesterday. He's the first player since at least 1950 with at least 150 yards rushing and 3 touchdown passes in a game. 9 total touchdowns and 1 pick for Fields in his last 3 games, 4 versus 0 yesterday. Amazing after that primetime game when we were killing the offensive coordinator, they finally got it with him. The Bears were 10 of 16 in their loss to Miami yesterday on 3rd downs. They were 1 of 2 on 4th. They had 252 yards rushing. They joined the 76 Steelers as the only teams in the Super Bowl era to run for at least 225 yards in 4 straight games, but it was in defeat. Only down 14-10 when a Trenton Gill punt was blocked by Jalen Phillips. Andrew Van Ginkle of the Dolphins took it 25 yards to the house. It was 21-10 Dolphins, 8:25 left in the second quarter. And really it was from there that the Bears just kept trying to chase them. Though down 21-17, Jason Sanders, the Bears were down 21-17. Jason Sanders missed a chip shot 29-yard field goal in the closing seconds of the first half, so it gave the Bears life. Bears down 28-17, 11:32 left in the third quarter, 3rd and 5 from their own 39. Field 61-yard touchdown run, 2-point conversion. They're only down 28-25. 35-25, Dolphins go for it on 4th and 7. 2:06 left, third quarter, they failed to convert. Ensuing drive, Chicago 4th and 1 at their own 44 to begin the fourth quarter. They convert. 6 plays later, Fields to Kmet for a touchdown, 35-32. But Miami up 35-32, 4th and 1 at the Chicago 14, 7:55 left. Tua underthrows Durham Smythe, incomplete. Teams trade punts. Chicago started with the ball at their own 28 with 2:32 left. But 4th and 10 at the Chicago 42, they fail with 1:29 left, a pass intended for Equanimeous St. Brown in this case. All of that said, Chicago's, I'm going to say more than a field goal favorite against Detroit. I'll say 4 in favor of the Bears.
You know, my power ratings come to exactly 2.5, and that's what it is everywhere. Bears 2.5. I can see the logic of your number. I mean, because Fields, I mean, he played, I mean, you mentioned his QBR, 95.6 or whatever it was. I mean, he played great, and they're figuring out that this guy's legs are a huge, huge weapon. And he's a big dude.
Jake Getsy, their offensive coordinator, finally figured out to tailor his offense to this guy.
Yeah, and I mean, even though, you know, what do you take out of Detroit's win? You know, their defense has been horrible all year, and then they hold Green Bay to single digits. Does that mean their defense woke up? I'm not saying I like your number better, but I could see your logic, and I am going to open 2.5, but I think this number is going to go to 3, and I think that's probably the right side.
Yeah, Luke.
So I'm going to open 2.5, see what happens, but I think that number is going to go up because I was not that impressed. I mean, it was Jared Goff's QBR, like 15 or something like that.
Luke Getsy, not Jake Getsy. The thing about the Bears, though, is they're gutted on defense, right? No Robert Quinn, no Roquan Smith. So the Dolphins, and the Dolphins are great on offense anyway, they were able to just do anything they wanted.
Yeah,
so,
I'm not going to go crazy over the Bears, but I think 28.5, by the way, was Goff. You know, so I don't know. I think I have a feeling the Bears are the right side here.
Betting the election tomorrow with Mac Verstanding on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number 2 of a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander, Chrissy Andrews, Kelly Bidlin. Time to return to our regularly scheduled program, Guessing Lines, for Week 10 in the National Football League. But our pro tip from the last hour, Kelly, is this really our pro tip? This is our pro tip, everybody. If betting elections, look to fade Herschel Walker. Some value on the dog. See what he did? D-O-G this time.
Man.
Not D-A-W-G. D-O-G. some value on the dog in Georgia. That's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. Thank you to Joe Sheehan for tweeting, for texting and also listening to the election coverage here. All right, we're ready to continue with the early games on Sunday. We've got a lot more to get to here in Week 10.
Yeah, we do. 1 o'clock Eastern time on Sunday, Broncos at Titans.
Broncos were idle, perhaps. Much to the happiness of Broncos fans, Broncos backers, 3-5 Broncos. The Titans lose last night to the Chiefs. But is it one of these games where we actually feel better about the Titans after a loss than we did beforehand? Casey went up 9-0 in this game yesterday. Then a 7-play, 74-yard Tennessee touchdown drive. Henry in from 4 out is 9-7. And after a Casey punt, Henry for 56, a 56-yard carry. 4 plays later, he takes it in from 1 out, 14-9 Tennessee. And let me just say this about Mike Vrabel, because these are the little things that go unnoticed, but Chris Collins were seized on it last night. Up 14-9, Vrabel took a timeout with 10 seconds with a running clock, Casey with the ball, and Casey having a fourth down. And the reason he did that at 10 seconds was because if he had not done it and it had gone down to a few seconds, Casey could have thrown a Hail Mary or thrown a pass and tried to get out of bounds for a field goal attempt. Totally great, nuanced coaching decision by Vrabel.
Most underrated coach in the NFL.
Might he be a Coach of the Year candidate that no one is talking about?
Well, maybe. I think he's a hell of a coach. I've always liked him. Even when the Steelers draft him and wound up cutting him, I remember he goes to New England, has like this great career. Like, why did they cut him?
Second half, Titans 3-and-out. Then KC, third play of the ensuing drive. 1st and 10, their own 37. Mahomes to Kelce, tipped off of Kelce's hand and picked by Roger McCreary. Titans pick up 8 yards. Bullock, 44-yard field goal. It's 17-9 Titans. Next drive, Harrison Butker, who had missed a crucial PAT earlier, misses a 47-yarder with 5:21 left in the third quarter. You're like, this is happening. Here's the next sequence of the game. Tennessee punt, KC punt, Tennessee punt, KC punt, Tennessee punt. KC, at this point, their last 7 possessions had produced 0 points. They're down 8. They take over with 9:54 left. 13-play, 93-yard drive, 6 minutes and 58 seconds, including a 3rd and 17 conversion where Mahomes ran it for 20. Culminates in a Mahomes 14-yard touchdown run, 17-15, 2:56 left. 2-point conversion try, offsetting penalties. 2 penalties on Tennessee, 1 on KC. They redo it, defensive holding. They redo it again from the 1. Mahomes beats the D to the pylon. It's 17-17. Tennessee 3-and-out. By the way, the Titans had only 1 first down in the entire second half. Is that good? KC, after the Chiefs were stuffed for no gain on 3rd and 1, 101 left, 4th and inches from their own 45. Edwards-Helaire converts with a 2-yard pickup, and you're like, oh, they're going to win this in regulation. But KC doesn't pick up another yard. They're forced to punt. Tennessee concludes with another 3-and-out. KC gets the ball back with 5 seconds left at their own 40. Nothing happens, really. Though they tried. We go to overtime. KC wins the flip, the coin flip. Mahomes to Kelce for 18 on 2nd and 11. To Noah Gray for 27 on 3rd and 1. 3 plays later to Juju for 2 on 4th and 1. 4 plays later, they still have to settle for a Butker 28-yard field goal with 4:07 left. 20-17, KC. And all the survivor players who had Kansas City, there were more than 40 of them in circa of the remaining 123. They're like, oh my God, could this possibly have happened? Could we snatch victory from the jaws of defeat? Tennessee 4-and-out ballgame. Malik Willis, 5 of 16 for 80. He did have 8 carries for 40 yards. His total QBR was 10.6. That's the worst in football yesterday. Derrick Henry, 17 for 115 and 2 touchdowns. But here's the story with the Titans yesterday. 9 first downs, 1 of 11 on 3rd down, 0 for 1 on 4th down. Only 229 yards. They gave up 499 and they almost won.
Yeah.
And here's the real crime. Derrick Henry had 8 touches on 27 plays in the second half when Willis was incapable of completing a forward pass. Tennessee's going to be about a 4.5-point favorite at home against Denver.
Bingo.
There you go.
Me and you, my power ratings come to exactly 4.5. It's 3 with even, some 3 with juice on the dog.
Hmm.
So I'm opening a solid 3. Hopefully they take it off me because I definitely like the Titans here. And I'm, by the way, I'm assuming Tannehill's going to be back. He was almost back yesterday.
That line is assuming he's back, yes.
Yeah, my 4.5 is assuming he's
back. Me too.
I'm going to assume he's back. I think he was ready to play yesterday. They pulled the plug on him. But this team knows how to win football games. And we're talking about a coaching mismatch. Here's Exhibit A from Denver to Tennessee. So I like my number. If it starts going up, but I'm hoping they take the three off a week, which they might.
Kelly?
One Easter, Jags at Chiefs.
Jags are 3-6. Chiefs are 6-2 now. The Jags, the second biggest comeback in franchise history yesterday against the Raiders. 17-point deficit, erased it, won it. They ended a five-game skid. They had been 0-6 in one-score games before this. The Raiders spent the week in Bradenton, Florida, because they were going between New Orleans and Jacksonville. So they stayed on the East Coast. They dominated early. 3rd and 5 at the Raiders 26, 10-21 left in the first quarter. Trevor Lawrence fumbled on an exchange with the running back. Max Crosby recovers 10 plays later. Carr to Adams for 25. It was 7-0. Las Vegas. By the way, that was Adams' 6th catch of the drive for 88 yards, including on a 4th and 4 at Jacksonville 42. Remember, he had one catch for 3 yards all of last week. Raiders scored on 4 of their first 5 possessions. They go up 17-0. They lead 20-7 just before halftime. Devontae Adams was unstoppable. First half, 9 catches for 146 yards, 2 scores in the first 30 minutes. But here are the Raiders' drives in the second half, Grizzy. Punt, punt, punt. Turnover on downs. Pitchy, pitchy, woo-woo. Adams in the second half, 1 catch for no yards. God bless. Trevor Lawrence in victory, 25 of 31 for 235. 1 touchdown, no picks. He wasn't sacked. 6 carries for 53 yards. He did lose a fumble. Travis Etienne, 28 for 109, 2 touchdowns. The Jaguars were 9 of 15 on 3rd down. They were up 24-20 with 3:08 left. The Jaguars were. Riley Patterson hit the right upright on a 41-yard field goal try. Gave the Raiders new life, but 4 and out. They had a 4th and 2. The Raiders did it. Their own 39 with 2:30 left. Derek Carr threw it way over Hunter Renfro's head. Not way over, but high. Jacksonville added a field goal. Raiders down 7, had 103 left, but lost 7 yards on 4 plays. Jacksonville wins it 27-20. Oh, my, the Raiders. And then there's Kansas City, as we talked about. They won it. Mahomes, 43 of 68 yesterday for 446. By the way, did you know the record for attempts in a game was Drew Bledsoe was 70?
I didn't know that.
No. I didn't either until yesterday. Mahomes, too shy of that. Kelsey, 10 for 106. Juju, 10 for 88. And as I mentioned, a 499 to 229 advantage in total yards. They did have 10 penalties for 69 yards. The Chiefs did yesterday. But what a strange game with the Chiefs, where they just dominated completely in the box score. By the way, NFL research, Patrick Mahomes completed 43 passes last night, while Malik Willis completed only 5, as we discussed. That gap of 38 completions is the largest in a game in the Super Bowl era, breaking the previous record of 36 from the 59-0 Patriots win over the Titans in Week 6 of 2009. Wow.
I remember that game.
Do you really? Yeah, yeah. I do not. Here's the other one from NFL research. Patrick Mahomes, first player in the Super Bowl era with at least 400 yards and a touchdown passing, 400 yards and a touchdown passing, and 60 yards and a touchdown rushing in the same game. That also for NFL research. And yet it was just amazing that the Titans.
They were life and death.
Maybe should have won this game last night.
Easily.
Kansas City minus 10.5 against Jacksonville.
Yeah, my power ratings come to 12. This may be a case of the diminishing returns. It's pretty much 10 everywhere. I'm going to go with 10. By the way, I think a lot of credit needs to go to Coach Peterson for making those adjustments at halftime. Because, I mean, Adams at first half looked like 2 Jerry Rices. You know, I mean, yeah. And then it shut him down, 1 catch, I think, the second half. So Peterson obviously made some great adjustments. I think the guy's a hell of a coach myself.
Well, remember the stat we threw out about Jacksonville last week. The 1st and 3rd quarters,
yeah,
game planning and adjustments, they have the best plus minus in all of football. And then in the 2nd and 4th, they have like the worst plus minus.
Yeah, I think talent probably comes to show. And then we talked about, you and I mentioned it last week, Linda Cohn had mentioned it, that Lawrence doesn't always come up big in big spots. But he came up big yesterday. He definitely did.
Yep.
But I think Peterson deserves a lot of credit. I think he's a hell of a coach. Anyway, I think 10's okay. Like I said, even though my power ratings come higher, I think 10's fine. Double digits. It's hard to... Hard to overcome. Just look at yesterday's results.
Let's squeeze one in here, Kelly, real quick.
1 o'clock Eastern, Browns at Dolphins.
Browns were idle. They're 3-5. Still with Jacoby Brissett. Still waiting on Deshaun Watson's suspension to lift. Miami, as we mentioned, beat the Bears 35-32. The Miami offense is spectacular. But again, the Bears without Roquan Smith, without Robert Quinn now, so they're an easy target. Miami 6-0 when Tua starts and finishes games this season. They've won 3 straight by a total of 13 points entirely, though. They scored touchdowns on 4 of their first 5 drives. Tua ended up 21 of 30 for 302. 3 touchdowns, no picks. He was not sacked. Tyreek, 7 for 143 and a touchdown. By the way, Tyreek Hill, the most receiving yards through 9 games in the Super Bowl era. 1,104 yards receiving. And then Waddle, 5 for 85 and a touchdown. Miami gets it done. I'm going to say Miami. I put this in no man's land between the 4 and the 7. I said Miami minus 5.5 against Cleveland.
You know, that's kind of what it opened in a lot of spots, but it's down to 4 everywhere. My power ratings come to 3.5. I just worry about this Miami defense. You know, Cleveland coming off a bye. I think that's probably going to help them a little bit. You know, I think 3.5, 4, you're cutting it pretty close. But I think the 5.5, your 5.5, which is what it opened last night in a lot of places, I think that's too high. I think the defense for Miami, very suspect here.
Yeah. I'm not racing to bet Miami.
Yeah, I'm gonna put down a tentative 4 right now, but if I see it dropping or anything, I'm going to go lower because, like I said, I just don't trust this Miami defense at all. Coming off a bye, I think I got to help the Browns a little bit.
Still like Seattle and Chicago the best, I think. We'll come back. Whole bunch more games to get to for Week 10 in the National Football League. The whole point of this, looking to extract some value. So far, this exercise has been money this year. One of the better, if not the greatest, guessing line season of them all if we go back and actually do the inventory on it. Coming back, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Get everything VSiN has to offer for the rest of the football season for only $99. Get VSiN Pro Access all the way through the Super Bowl, plus our upcoming college basketball, college bowl, and Super Bowl betting guides. Give yourself an edge, why don't you? Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to get your $99 mid-season special today. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. This bit of news from the Packers. The initial belief is pass rusher Rashawn Gary suffered a torn ACL versus Detroit, but the player is undergoing an MRI today to determine the full scope of the injury per source. If confirmed, the injury would end the season for Gary, who has 6 sacks this year. Team, though, still holding out hope, that per Jeremy Fowler, so we appreciate that.
They don't need much help.
That thing I'm talking about with Aaron Rodgers, though, how they were, and I forgive me for not remembering who the announcers were, but each one of his picks was horrific. And they refused to put the blame. They refused to just say, like, oh, what a terrible pass by Rodgers. Mm-hmm. It was like, what a play by Aiden Hutchinson. I was like, are you kidding me? The ball was like 10 feet short. They refused. Let's see. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Joe Abraham, don't believe your eyes and actual results. Tampa Bay is really 2 points better than Seattle. Hey, Joe, at some point, we're going to be wrong about Seattle. I'm going to be wrong about Seattle. I'm going to be wrong about Tampa Bay. Maybe it's this week. But you know what? So far, it's been pristine. Absolutely pristine. G-Weezy, yes, the bashing is ridiculous. Was shaking my head reading tweets. It reminded me how gambling Twitter knows it all, talking about the backlash on Bob DeLuca. Mark Gupta, hey, Gil, can you ask Bob his hedging strategy? Did he hedge this week or previous weeks? I will absolutely ask him that. That is already on my list of things to ask him tomorrow for show. Touchdown Jesus. Not at all Barry Bob and Crush'em Sports, but using your Gambler's Truth Serum method, Gil, the other 100 entrants were thrilled when he used 6 picks on one team, regardless of the outcome. Yes, as I said. As I said on the show with him last week. Let's see. Raj Bhatti at Downtown_Rocks. Are the Bears showing the 49ers how to use Trey Lance next season? I think Kyle Shanahan is smart enough to know that he will use him exactly that way from the outset, unlike the Bears coaching brass. And on with the tweets. Let's see. Yeah, we'll read some more later. Oh, somebody tweeted the whole Homer Simpson go back in the bush thing. It's exactly how I felt last week. Yeah. I was like, hey, Bob, you should really split these. And he split them, and then Miami was like touch and go. I was like, oh, no, please.
Before I go on, one correction. I'm going to open the Bears 3. Okay. I see money showing on them.
Yeah.
And I even though, like I said, my power ratings came to 2.5, I think this number is going to go to 3 for sure. So I'm going to open 3.
Okay. And your book, we should mention your book.
Yeah.
Adolfo Fusmo.
And I have a pinned tweet on my Twitter, or you can go to Amazon, just put Chris Andrews books, you know, and it'll come up. That's selling pretty well, and so far the people that have read it really like it. So I wish they'd put a review, though, on Amazon.
Oh,
so
let's get reviews on there.
Yeah, let's get some reviews on it. And what's our friend Sam?
Sam Ginsberg, true Yinzer from Pittsburgh.
Definitely, and we want to say what street he lives on.
Sure.
He lives on Whiteman Street in Squirrel Hill, which is where I lived and where Todd Wishnev lived. Uh-huh. So nice little Jewish neighborhood.
Yeah.
So the one, when it was all then one day and then one year, and then he had to change it because my last book, which is a novel, I didn't go with the then one blank blank.
It's very sweet of him.
Very nice. Very nice.
And
great
he
guy.
He made one for Kelly, college football guessing lines as well.
I saw that. I appreciate that. That's awesome. Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the Week 10 numbers.
Sun still in the early window. Texans at Giants.
By the way, how about that two games in the afternoon thing yesterday?
Oh, come on. What are they thinking? You know what they were thinking, really? I think they had the Rams defending Super Bowl champions Rams against Tom Brady. Oh, well, everybody's going to watch that.
Can't
who wants
go
to watch
wrong
anything
with
that. Else? Man, that was a horrible game.
It is. Like, how pumped were you guys after the early window? And then it's like within an hour, it was like, just drop off. Ugh, boring.
Terrible. What was the game?
Texans at Giants.
Texans idle. Were they idle or did they play on? No, they played Thursday. Pardon me. They played Thursday against the Eagles. Got beat 29-17. Most of us were watching the World Series. Davis Mills was 13 of 22 for 154, two touchdowns, two picks. He was sacked three times. Damian Pierce had himself a game, though. 27 carries for 139 yards in defeat. So they're on extra rest and they're taking on the Giants, who were idle. Giants 6-2. Houston with the worst record in football, 1-6-1. I'll say the Giants by a touchdown. Giants by 7, but it can't be more than that, right?
No. I see 1 6.5 out there. All the rest 7s. My power ratings came to exactly 7. It seems like that's got to be the number. But the Giants play a lot of close games. But yeah. Texans, I don't know. I think 7's okay.
What's next?
All right, 1 o'clock Eastern. Last game of the early window, Saints at Steelers.
Saints play tonight against the Ravens. Do you have any plays on this game tonight?
I got nothing. I had a whole two bets this whole week.
What'd you bet?
1-0-1 is what I finished. Pushed on the Vikings, one on a money line parlay. Dolphins and why am I blanking on the second team right now?
How'd you do?
I don't know. One on the money line.
How'd you do in millions?
Millions was 2-3.
I was gonna say, you know, I went undefeated in millions. Do you know what my record was? 3-0-2.
That's great.
I just cannot buy a good 5-0 week. This was
on to the next quarter, finally.
What a push week this was for lots of people.
By the way, tons of money tonight on the Saints.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Why? And because of the Ravens' injuries, would you say?
I don't know. I have
nothing.
I've not been a big Saints guy all year, even preseason when they were a hot side to win the Super Bowl in the division, blah, blah, blah.
Michael Thomas will not play the rest of the year.
Is that right?
That's the word, yeah.
But anyway, you know, that's little – heads up for tonight's game.
I have nothing on tonight's game. New Orleans falls in the category of, like, teams I cannot wrap my head around. Either way. Who are they playing next week?
Saints at Steelers.
So the Saints will be on short week after their game tonight against the Ravens at the Steelers, who were idle.
Yeah.
I didn't make it 3. I said Saints minus 2.5 at Pittsburgh.
2.5 solid everywhere. My power rating has come to 3. They're going to throw me out of Pittsburgh.
These are remarkable. A lot of these are remarkably easy lines to make.
I'm going
to
go with 2.5. I guess we'll see what happens tonight. Because I hope the Saints don't look very good. I hope the Ravens beat them up. Because that's who I'm going to need tonight.
By the way, on a Megapod this week, we are 10-1 collectively into tonight. Yeah, with our best bets. Eric Eager was our guest. Kelly, what's next? We'll do another.
All right, 4:05 Eastern Time. Colts at Raiders.
Oh, the Colts. We haven't talked about them yet. They've lost 3 straight now. They've averaged 9.7 points a game during that 3-game stretch. Yesterday, they're trailing 6-0 to the Patriots. Matt Hack, punt blocked. Brendan Schooler lands on it. 2 plays later, Jones to Stevenson. Ramondre, that is. 3-yard touchdown pass. It's 13-0 Patriots. We'll just cut to the end. Jonathan Jones returns a pick 17 yards for a touchdown to finish the scoring and made it 26-3. Here's the point I want to make. Sam Ellinger. First half stats, 5 of 12 for 52. He was sacked 5 times, and the Colts were 0 for 7 on third down in the first half. By the way, Ellinger didn't complete a pass until midway through the second quarter. Is that good? For the game, Ellinger 15 of 29 for 103. No touchdowns, 1 pick. He was sacked 9 times. The old Belichick versus a rookie quarterback thing. His total QBR was better than Malik Willis's, though, 13.4. It's the 4th time this season the Colts have allowed 5 or more sacks. What happened to that offensive line? Injuries, I know. But really, beyond that, what happened to them? The Colts end up 0 for 14 on 3rd down, 0 for 2 on 4th. By the way, Mac Jones in victory, he only completed 8 passes in the first half himself. I mean, the Patriots really didn't do anything. The Colts had 8 first downs in this game. New England had 11. The Colts ended up with 121 total yards. The Patriots had 203. By the way, that 121 total yards for the Colts, the fewest for that franchise since 1997. They only had 43 passing yards. All of this after they fired their offensive coordinator, Marcus Brady. They're like, you're the problem. Get out of here. Oh, maybe you weren't the problem. And the Raiders we talked about, they lose. They squander the 17-0 lead. Carr was 21 of 36 against the Jags for 259, two touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked twice. Devontae ended up 10 for 146 and two touchdowns. But as I said, nine of those catches and all of those yards and all of those touchdowns were in the first half. One catch for zero in the second half. What happened? And the only silver lining, as we talked about with the Bucs, their best player is probably their punter. The Raiders' best player is Daniel Carlson. 41 straight field goals made. The regular season record is 44, 46 for the regular season in the playoffs. So he is knocking on history. By the way, 44 by Vinatieri, 46, I want to say, by... It's escaping me right now. I'll say the Raiders have to be favored, though, right there at home. If the Patriots were 5.5-point favorites against the Colts, shouldn't the Raiders be the same? Especially after the Patriots crushed them. So I'll say 5.5.
It's mostly 6. I see a 5.5. I see a couple 5.5s. My power rating has come to 5.5. But I think I'm going to open 6. Boy, this Colts team is just abysmal. And I'm thinking Andrew Luck looks smarter and smarter every day rather than standing behind that offensive line, doesn't he?
Does the loser of this game, does the coach of the loser of this game get fired?
I think if the Colts lose, I think there's a good chance Wright gets fired. I don't think the Raiders pull the plug this early. I don't think
so. That would be quite historic.
I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, it looks like a Jim Irsay move that Ellinger is the quarterback. I mean, was Matt Ryan that bad? I mean, he's worse than Ellinger.
Honestly, they should be tanking for one of these quarterbacks in the draft.
Now that's a different story.
I don't know. I would think Reich's job might be safe. He might be doing exactly what the front office wants him to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely
good job,
possible.
Frankie.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure how many good quarterbacks there are out there right now, but they always find somebody. But I don't know. A couple of teams are going to need a quarterback.
Oh, this draft is loaded. Loaded. More games to get to, a whole bunch more. Four more, including the primetime games next. Guessing Lines right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game. Guessing Lines for Week 10. Gil Alexander, Chrissy Andrews, Kelly Bidlin. Hey, can we give some fellow VSiN members a little shout-out for college basketball, Kelly? Is that allowed?
Hell yeah.
Matt Eumanns with his top 50 college basketball teams on the website at VSiN.com. Check that out. Does anybody like anything more than Matt Eumanns loves college basketball, by the way?
I don't know.
We should all love something as much as Matt Eumanns loves college basketball. I might have the answer to that question. Greg Peterson.
Yeah.
With his Coast to Coast Hoops podcast. He breaks down every game every day, including all 126 today. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts.
I think I can confidently say nobody likes the Maui Invitational more than Matt Eumanns.
That's a good qualification. Good qualifier right there.
He is there every year.
But when we say there's 126 games today and Greg breaks down every one of them, we ain't lying. We still need, okay, how many afternoon games do we have in the NFL this week?
We got two more in the late window
afternoon. Which
means Cowboys at Packers, 425, and Cardinals at Rams.
Which means we have how many in the afternoon this week?
We have three.
Three.
But you got the game extra early in Munich, too.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Cowboys-Packers.
Cowboys-Packers. Cowboys idle. 6 byes this week, so it allows us to get through some of these quick. Dallas are 6-2. They'll be on extra rest here with the week off. And then there's Green Bay. We talked about how they had many opportunities against the Lions. The Lions managed by interception, by turnover on downs, to stop them. The Packers, that is, several times. Rodgers was terrible. This was the worst game you've ever seen Aaron Rodgers play. He was 23 of 43 for 291, one touchdown, 3 horrific picks, and he was sacked once. He had a 25.0 total QBR. The only two quarterbacks with a lower QBR than him, Sam Ellinger and Malik Willis.
That's bad.
And as we mentioned, the Packers minus 2 in turnovers, that's always a big thing. By the way, that was not a thing in the NFL yesterday, like turnover margin. Just barely existed. This was the biggest turnover margin. Oh, no, there was the one other game. The Bengals and the Panthers was a little more than that, 3. Dallas is going to be favored on the road. Is 6 too many points?
Little too many. My power ratings come to 5. And even when I was writing it down, I'm thinking, boy, 5, is that all? Yeah. But I still give the Packers 2 points for home field advantage, which is the most I give anybody anymore. That's the most. So, including the home field advantage, it comes to five. I guess I'll open at five, but I got to tell you, gun to my head, I would play the Cowboys here. I mean, especially coming off rest. Rodgers, his body language is so bad. It just looks like he's given up, and it looks like all the players, I mean, besides not having any talent, it seems that they recognize that he's given up. And this is a team that's in a race to the bottom right now.
And the Packers have a lot of injuries every week. We just
lost one of their best defensive players, right?
Well, we talked about that with Rashawn Gary, but Dobbs had an injury yesterday.
Yep.
There was someone else too on the defensive secondary who had an injury, I believe. And could you imagine that Dallas defense against a virtually receiverless offense?
Yeah.
By the way, Vrabel, this going back to the Titans game last night, they were somebody said to him, like, I think it was Collinsworth who was relating the story, but they're like, hey, why don't you throw more? Who am I going to throw it to? Derrick Henry's won us a few games.
Yeah.
The Packers are kind of in that state. And I could just see this Dallas defense crushing them. So what is it? What are you putting up?
I'm going to put up five. Like I said, that's what it is. That's what my power ratings come to.
Okay.
But I have a feeling this number's going up.
This is one of the things we talked about on the show because Kelly has done pretty well in millions. I've done pretty well in millions. We're not relevant to the top of this.
Long, yeah.
Let's not get crazy.
Not anymore.
But one of the things we attribute to having a good season in the NFL is our preseason thoughts have been largely true, and none more true about the Vikings being good and the Packers stinking. Kelly's even wearing a Vikings hat on the show now.
Really?
Yeah, he is.
I noticed the horns, yeah.
No, he really put one on Friday.
Yeah, really did. We got some breaking news coming through.
Oh.
Something we just touched on briefly, or just a few minutes ago. Frank Reich fired.
Oh, wow.
Well.
Okay.
Did I do that? Wow.
So I guess the front office doesn't want him around.
Yeah, okay.
Jim Irsay listening in.
Okay. Well, six is the right number then.
So there it is. Frank Reich, relieved of his duties.
Yeah.
He becomes the second head coach this year. Do I have that right? To be relieved of his duties? Matt Rhule of the Panthers being the first. And what a fall from grace for Frank Reich, who, by the way, the author of the greatest comebacks not only in pro football history but also in college football history with the University of Maryland against Miami over there at Byrd Stadium. Obviously, the one with the Bills against the Oilers in the AFC playoffs so many years ago in the early 90s. But really, Frank Reich, when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, Frank Reich was given a lot of credit for that. And as he moved over to Indianapolis, he was still given a lot of credit for that. He had this love affair with Carson Wentz.
That didn't work out.
Seemed to have a bit of a love affair with Matt Ryan.
Again.
And now Frank Reich is no longer the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts.
Can I repeat what I often say? They all sound good on the way in. It don't sound so good on the way out.
No. So he didn't even make it to next week.
That's an interesting one. I wonder if he gets another chance somewhere. Kind of feel like
he'll get an offensive coordinator job, I would
think so?
Somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah, I could see him back. And I don't know how much this has to do with, like, he was – like the organization, yes, with the quarterbacks the past few years, right? With retreading these quarterbacks. We talked about it a lot, Gil, how defensive he was of Matt Ryan at the beginning of the season. It was like, it almost was like he was sticking out his neck out for him. And
well, even when the word came from up above, from the owner's box of, we're going with Ellinger, which I think everybody agrees is what happened. Remember that press conference where, you know, Reich had been defending Ryan, and then when that word came down from the owner's box, he was like, we didn't give Matt Ryan a fair shake.
Right.
You know, we let him down.
We let him down was his words.
By the way, he's right. They did let him down.
Yeah, that first year without Andrew Luck, they actually beefed up the offensive line pretty good, but it's gone downhill ever since then. Quentin Nelson, who a lot of people think the best guard in the NFL, I mean, he's been hurt and he hasn't been nearly as effective. He signed that giant contract. But the offensive line has just been horrible. They haven't protected anybody. They protected Rivers that one year and then and downhill after that.
Jonathan Taylor's been hurt. They traded Nyheim Hines. So, boy, what a fall.
Yeah, that was even Eric Eager just seeing a tweet of his. He tweeted out, when Frank Reich gets another job and catches some median luck, we'll look back on his days in Indianapolis. It's really unfortunate.
Median
luck. Just he's had such bad luck there with some of these things like you guys just laid out.
Yeah, a lot of fault has to go to the front office. A lot of it.
Colts in the full tank. Full tank mode.
No, all right. 4:25 Eastern time, Cardinals at Rams.
Cardinals are 3-6. The Rams are 3-5. Remember when this division was supposed to be good? God bless.
Run away with it, Seattle.
Well, Chrissy, you've been right about Kyler Murray the whole time. Arizona, by the way, Arizona has matched their loss total from last year with six losses already. Kyler Murray yesterday in defeat against the Seahawks, a game we already talked about, 25 of 35 for 175, two touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked five times, eight carries for 60 yards. And that fumble lost when we went through the Seattle game. I don't know if we have we gone through that game yet. Yeah, we touched upon it. Like, there was a moment there. I don't think I mentioned this play. They were driving, and then he fumbled, you know, and just always at the worst times. The Cardinals only had 15 first downs against the Seahawks. They only had 262 total yards, 12 penalties for 77 yards. Cliff Kingsbury still has a job.
Yeah.
And then the Rams, we keep bringing up this stat, which is slowly becoming the most amazing stat of the season now after the whole Matt Rhule thing has come and gone. With opponents, you know, any opponents scoring 17-plus points, the Panthers were toast under Matt Rhule. But the Rams in the fourth quarter, we brought this up, I think, last week. You know what they've been outscored in the fourth quarter this year? 71-10. 10-0 yesterday. The Rams lose to the Bucks, a game that they had the whole way until they didn't. Fifth game this season for the Rams with 14 points or fewer. Oh, my God. By the way, this just in, they're the Super Bowl champions defending. Stafford, 13 of 27 for 165. 127 of them were to Cooper Kupp. 8 for 127 and a touchdown for Kupp. Like I said, he's not the number one weapon. He's the only weapon. They had 9 first downs in this game against the Bucs and only 206 total yards. What a stinker of a game. Arizona at the Rams. I can't make the Rams a 3-point favorite. I'll split the difference. I'll say Rams minus 1.5.
My power ratings come to 2. Rams 2. It's 3 everywhere.
Jeez.
I'm opening 2.5. And I've said it before on this show a couple times. Arizona's not, they have zero home field advantage. They're actually a better team on the road. They should be like a negative home field. You know, so this is a pretty good road team. I don't know how that works, but I'm just telling you the facts. Yeah, 3 is hard to go to. I'm going to open at 2.5 myself. And by the way, Kyler Murray had one of those fantastic runs, and I was sitting there with Vinny in the back. I said, there he is, the best highlight reel in the NFL, no doubt about it. Can't win games, but, you know, the highlight reel is fantastic.
Yeah, they're just
– Kingsbury, how's he held on to his job? I mean, come on. First of all, he was a terrible hire when they hired him.
Well, remember I have to go find these, but like last year we did the whole thing when you go back in time, even in his Texas Tech years, how every season starts good and then it just falls off a cliff. Yeah. This one's not even starting good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he'll be looking for a job after this.
Rams by 3, huh? There's a game I want no part of. All right, primetime game still to come Sunday nights and Monday night, week 10 of the National Football League. I think I know what the Monday night game is because it involves Washington. So we'll get to that. So far, you see a lot of value? You like that, anything? Yeah, we'll get to it. We'll get the answer to those at the other side as well. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game proudly brought to you by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits, like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager with BetMGM. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Gil Alexander, Chrissy Andrews, my mishpucha, and of course Kelly Bidlin here as well. The point of this whole exercise of guessing lines, once again, a throwback, a tribute to the old Stardust show of the same ilk, trying to find value in the upcoming week's NFL lines. And the other trick about it is usually our first instincts are great, but we have 4, 5, 6 days to just rattle around in our brain. And there have been many years where we have turned on those first convictions. Not this year, though. Kind of stuck with them. It's worked out nicely.
I fortunately did turn on one because I had the Colts against New England last week when we did the show. And the more I looked at it, I said,
Oh, yeah. By the end, I was like, Belichick against Ellinger.
Yeah, I'm not sure I want to go to this one.
And let me just say, we should say this because Frank Reich got fired. We were talking earlier, our preseason convictions, how we got the Vikings and the Packers right. Well, we sure didn't get the Colts right. Let's put it that way. Because I had the Colts winning the division. You know who had the Colts right? Jeff Parlay had the Colts right. He didn't think they were going to be good.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Because I thought the Titans would take a step back, losing a couple key pieces like A.J. Brown. I didn't see a contender in sight.
So let me talk about the Titans for a second. Because I asked this sort of rhetorically earlier. Do we feel better about them after the loss yesterday than we have all year?
Yes, but I've brought this up a couple times with you this year. You were very high on this team last year.
Yes.
They've lost pieces, and I still don't know how to feel about them. Right? Last year, I didn't know how to feel about them. All regular season, how good were they really? Because I don't trust Ryan Tannehill in big spots.
If the Titans won that game last year, we could have been staring down the barrel of them being the number one seed again.
Yeah.
With all this talk about the Chiefs and the Bills, it would have been the Titans in the driver's seat.
My long way of saying of I still don't know how good this team is.
Yeah.
You know, they might get into the playoffs with a good record, and I'm going to bet against them immediately.
So, yeah. It's hard, but it speaks to Vrabel, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Where it's like, here's
does.
How we're playing football. We suck at a lot of things, but we're going to play it this one way. And they seem to have the Chiefs' number. I know they lost, but they seem to really have the Chiefs' number.
They've always given the Chiefs a lot of trouble.
All right, let's go to Sunday night, Kelly. What do we got?
Sunday night, Chargers at 49ers.
Chargers, seems like a long time ago when we talked about this game. They beat the Falcons by a field goal with all that kind of goofiness at the end of that game yesterday. I still can't get over it. Was Taquan on the Falcons just rumbling downfield. He's like, I lost the ball on my own. Chargers at the Niners. Niners were idle. Herbert, by the way, in victory yesterday for the Chargers, was 30 of 43 for 245, one touchdown, one pick. He was not sacked. Joshua Palmer, 8 catches for 106. Talk about a team that's looking for people to throw the ball to because they had no Keenan Allen. They had no Mike Williams. The Chargers were 8 of 16 on third down. They were 1 of 1 on fourth. The Chargers are the third team in history to trail by 10-plus points at the end of the first quarter in 4 straight games. How about that? Talk about
coaching,
preparation, Brandon Staley. They trail by 10 or more at the end of the first quarter in the last 4 straight games. They still won yesterday. By the way, the only other two teams, 62-63 AFL Broncos and the 88 Buccaneers. And then San Francisco was on a bye. San Francisco by 6, I'll say here. San Francisco's so much better than the Chargers.
They are so much better. I'm not sure about them covering big numbers. I'm looking.
Yeah.
Well, they did beat the Rams pretty good. Some of their wins, but I mean, boy, their wins, you have to go back to week 2 to give me like a real impressive win, and that was over the Seahawks. My numbers came to 5, you know, and again, I'm thinking that's probably a little light. And it is, because it's 7 like a blanket everywhere.
Ooh, really?
It's ticked up there, yeah.
Wow. I think I'm going to open at 7 because we don't juice numbers, and, you know, it's a Sunday night game, and we're going to get – so I got a long way to go
to make
a decision. But I think that number's a little too high. I think
– Me too.
One thing we've talked about in the past, what's the next number? Is it 7.5? Is it 6.5? I mean, to me, it's got to be 6.5.
Got to be 6.5.
So I'm going to open 7 and see where it goes from there. But I kind of like the Chargers here. I think they keep it close. I said the Niners wins, the impressive wins were against some bad teams.
Yeah, I don't love it with all the wide receiver injuries the Chargers got going on, but you're telling me you're going to give me 7 points with Justin Herbert against the 49ers team, you're right, which I don't they don't cover big numbers often.
Yeah, and they want to run the ball, they're going to play defense. You know, they're going to win a lot of games. And they might be the second best team in the NFC. I think right now they probably are, maybe the Cowboys. But I think right now that looks like a big, big number to me. And Justin Herbert, when he needed that one pass late after the goofy, crazy fumble thing, and that was like a laser, whew, right in there.
He's
an amazing, amazing athlete.
Yeah, you look at the Niners schedule. The only really good team they've beaten is the Seahawks. Right?
That was week 2.
That was week 2. So they've beaten the Rams, the Panthers, and the Rams again. Those are their 4 wins and their 4 losses. Bears opening day.
Yeah.
Broncos. Good God, remember that.
Chiefs, Falcons.
Chiefs and Falcons.
Yeah.
You're right. When you look at it that way.
Yeah. I had trouble getting a 7 with that game.
I thought my guess of 6 was going to be high. Apparently not. Monday night, Kelly.
Monday night, we have Commanders at the Eagles.
The Commanders. Boy, if Washington wins that game yesterday, They're 5-4, and you're like, are you kidding me with Taylor Heinicke doing this? And I love Taylor Heinicke. But, you know, like for all my love of Taylor Heinicke and for all the Washington fan base's love of him, he's got limitations.
Oh, yeah.
And yesterday, it really came out. Just a horrible pick. He doesn't have a strong arm. He can't heave it downfield. But, man, if they had won that, it would have just been Heinicke mania. They lose. They squander the 17-7 lead against the Vikings. They lose, as we talked about, 20-17. Washington has scored 17 points or fewer in 6 of its last 7 games. Heinicke in the first half, I mentioned this, 6 of 14 for 48 yards. And Washington only had 96 total yards at the half. And remember that first pass that he threw to Curtis Samuels into the Vikings team meeting was more yards on that one pass than he had in the whole first half.
I hadn't heard that description, but that's perfect. Great. I think there was 5 guys there, seriously.
That was the touchdown you're talking
yes,
about, right?
Touchdown.
The one where the ref went there was defensive pass interference on the referee that wasn't called.
Curtis Samuel caught it. All the Vikings are like, I can't believe he caught it. He just rolled to the end zone. Heinicke ended up 15 of 28 for 149. 2 touchdowns, 1 brutal pick, game-changing, and then 3 sacks. 263 total yards for Washington. After Minnesota scored on the opening drive of the game, here was the rest of the first half. Washington punt, Minnesota punt, Washington punt, Minnesota punt, Washington punt, Minnesota punt, Washington punt, Minnesota punt, Washington field goal, Minnesota picked in the half. That was the first half of football. Who are they playing? Philadelphia. Philadelphia, Jalen Hurts on extra rest. They played Thursday night against Houston. Hurts was 21 of 27 for 243, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 4 times in a pretty, I want to call it like a kind of nonchalant win for the Eagles. The Eagles were certainly not at their best in a short week, a short turnaround in an away game, but they did enough to beat the Texans. So I have Philadelphia by 13.
Oh, you're a little high. My power ranks come to 12. It's 11 pretty much ever. I even see a 10.5. But you go back to that Philly game against Houston. I mean, that's a perfect example. You can have no chance to win an NFL game and still cover double digits. It's just the way the NFL is.
Yep.
Exact opposite in college. But in the NFL, that's why I keep saying diminishing returns. This is a diminishing returns number for me. Like I said, I made it 12, but I saw 11. I'm fine with the 11. I mean, you know, look at last night, you know, Kansas City, you know, double-digit favorite. A lot of money on Kansas City, too, by the way. Buffalo, I mean, everybody had the Jets, but still, 2 double-digit favorites, 2 best teams, arguably, in the NFL. Couldn't cover double digits. And Philly, go back to Thursday night's game, the 3rd best team in the NFL. Couldn't cover double digits. So I think 11's fine.
Your pro tip of the hour. Interesting game in Munich this weekend between the Buccaneers and the Seahawks. Have books and bettors properly adjusted to both of those teams, the Bucs and the Seahawks this year. We've certainly exploited it. Could be value once again on Seattle this week. We'll see. We'll go back to the well one more time with it, and we'll see if we get away with it one more time. That's your pro tip for the hour. See if the books have adjusted properly. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. By the way, as we go out, Survivor this week, just going through all of these, good God. Eagles and Giants. I think I would take the Giants this week.
Yeah, that's a bet for me. Save the already Eagles this week. I laid 6.5 yesterday with the Giants. Then Cowboys-Dolphins money line parlay were my two. Those are my two opening bets.
Bears and Seahawks for me is what I like the best here. You?
Seahawks, Falcons, Chargers.
Falcons. Oh,
you like Thursday night.
Thursday night.
Not a numbers play situation.
Definitely be there.
You know, Carolina's in so much turmoil. I mean, come on.
What a league. Hope you did well this weekend. Good luck tonight if you're betting it. Good luck next week. We'll talk to you tomorrow. The Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Bob DeLuca tomorrow.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah!
and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.